Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. This is reading of God's word. God to the John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. Bless the person who is preaching. Bless the people, all of us who are hearing your word. Let us, through your word, hear your loving voice, telling us what your Son has accomplished for us. Let us see the glorious Lord through your word, and have fellowship with him through your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have said that verses 4 through 8 can be divided into three sections. And three sections are, as we have said last Lord's Day, verse 4 and 5a, and we name that salutation. And verse 5b through verse 6, praise. And verse 7 through 8, the summary or the theme of the book of Revelation. We are looking at the salutation section. We started looking at verse 4 last Lord's Day. Let us finish that section today. From verse 4 through verse 5a, we learn four things. We learn first who is the sender. The sender of the letter is John. Because verse 4 starts with John to the seven churches. But what we are looking at is the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Word of God. Thus, the ultimate sender is God himself, as we have seen that. And we learn about who is the recipients, the seven churches that are in Asia. But as we have seen already, the seven churches represent the all churches, all the churches in all ages. And the blessings that the sender is sending to the recipients, grace and peace. And this blessing is from Triune God, from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. From him who is and who was and who is to come, the Father. From the I am who I am. From the Father who works all things after the counsel of his will. And his will from the very beginning was to save his people. And he is who is to come. He is the creator and the consummator of all things. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And the grace and peace, the blessing is also from the seven spirits who are before His throne, the Holy Spirit. He is sent by the Father and the Son to the church. Our God is not just who is to come, but who is with His church right now. The Holy Spirit is the golden oil to the lamp of God, the church. The church is the light of the world, for her Lord is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit is sent to the church, and He shines the light through the church. The glory of God, now and forever, is shining through the church. That is what we see in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit coming to the church. That is that the golden oil is coming to the lamp of God. And the light that the Holy Spirit shines will never go off. This supply of oil will be forever and ever. The Holy Spirit will always be with us, His church. And that is where we stopped last Lord's Day. If we continue to look at that section, salutation, verse 4 through 5a, it says, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. So this grace and peace is coming from the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 5 says, from Jesus Christ. And in verse 5a, Jesus Christ is described in these three things. Jesus Christ, who is He? The faithful witness, first. The second, the firstborn of the dead. And the third, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. Here we learn who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we go in the Bible, that's what we're learning. Who is He and what He has done and what He has accomplished. And no exception here. In this verse, we learn who He is. We learn what He has done for His people. We learn also, because of our union with Him, we learn who we are in Jesus Christ in this verse. The first, the faithful witness. The word witness in Greek is martus, martyr. A person who voluntarily, with pleasure, suffers death for his faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the witness. He perfectly and completely witnesses God. He is God. John chapter 1 verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he explained him. Or ESV version, He has made Him, the Father, known. John chapter 14 verse 9, Jesus says, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3a, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God, God's nature. He is the faithful witness. John chapter 8 verse 28 through 29, so Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. He is faithful witness. He witnesses the truth. John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus says, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth," or to bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Jesus Christ, He witnesses the reality of heaven. He witnesses the fact that this world is not everything. He witnesses the fact that there is another world where He came from. And He is the true light. He is the faithful witness. Revelation 3:14, He is called the faithful and true witness. Jesus was faithful unto death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2b says, Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the faithful witness. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I have been called by our Lord Jesus Christ as the witness, as the witnesses of Christ. In Christ, you and I, we are faithful witnesses. Well, you might be telling yourself right now, no, I'm not. No, we're not talking about whether you actually do a good job showing who you are. We're talking about what Christ has already done for you. He made you already His witnesses. Well, this should bring joy to our hearts, but for some, it just becomes a burden. Because you do not understand yet the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the faithful witnesses in Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. And you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called as faithful witnesses of God. faithful until death. And that is the picture that the book of Revelation gives who Christians are. Let me show you. Let's read some verses out of this book. Let's go to chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 10. Jesus says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." This is who you are. Chapter 2, verse 13. "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you where Satan dwells." Do you hear that? Antipas. We don't know that much about this person and we'll talk about him more later. But Jesus himself calls him my witness, my faithful witness. The title that God gives to Jesus Christ, the same title, is given to one of his servants. And you are his servant. You bear the same title that Jesus has. You are faithful witnesses. Chapter 6, verse 9. "When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who have been slain," Christians, "because of the word of God, and because of the testimony which they had maintained." Look at how Christians are described. Souls that had been slain because of the word of God. Faithful witnesses. Faithful until death. This is how the book of Revelation portrays the Christians. You. Chapter 12. Verse 11, "And they," who are they? Christians. "They overcame him," Satan, "because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." Again, Christians are described as a faithful witness until death. They did not love their life even when they're faced with death. Chapter 17, verse 14. "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful." All the Christians who are with Jesus Christ is called chosen and faithful. The title that was given to Jesus Christ. One more, chapter 20, verse 4. "Then I saw thrones and they sat on them. The judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, Christians are described as those who have been what? Beheaded. Because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those who have not received the mark of the beast, they did not follow the patterns of this world. they're faithful to God, faithful witnesses of God. Brothers and sisters, do understand that this is who you are. I'm not asking you to try your best so that you could be the faithful witnesses of God. No, I am not saying that. You are already, whether you feel like it or not. The truth is that God made you His faithful witnesses. And it is your duty now, with pleasure, to witness what has happened to you by Jesus Christ. That we must do, but we're not trying to be like this. We are this. You have to believe. Without faith, the fruit will never, you will never be able to bear that fruit. Faith. Believe what God is telling you. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me." We too in Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, we too witness Jesus Christ, witness God, we witness the truth, and witnesses the reality of heaven. We too are faithful witnesses in Christ Jesus. The second thing, Jesus Christ is called the firstborn of the dead. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, He is also head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Romans chapter 8 verse 29, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren." Firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. It means so many things. We just don't have time to go into all of them. But being firstborn means that He is the one who would receive the inheritance. You understand that firstborn is the one who receives the inheritance. So Jesus being the firstborn, He received the inheritance, the eternal inheritance of God that He will share with us. Again, as He was resurrected from the dead, He witnessed the reality of heaven. As He was resurrected from the dead, He shows us that there is what is called resurrected life. That our final destination is not death, but it's resurrection unto life forever. He has shown us that that is where we are headed. His firstborn. And He showed, as He was resurrected from the dead, the kingdom of God has begun. The kingdom in which the environment of is Jesus, I mean the Holy Spirit, that kingdom has begun. He witnessed that the end has already come. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. 15:17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Boy, there are so many churchgoers who their hope in Jesus Christ is all about this world. Look at what it says. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. He is the first fruit. What does that mean? The rest of the fruits will be just like him. It means that we are going to be like him. That's what first fruit is. When harvest time comes, you harvest the first fruit. And when you look at that first fruit, you know how the rest of the fruit will look like. So whatever the first fruit has been through, or however the first fruit is, that's how we are going to be. That's what it means that he is the first fruit. So if you have any doubt about how you are going to be or who you are in Christ, look at him. That's how you are going to be. He is the first fruit. No, we're not saying we're going to be God. But apart from that we are not going to be gods. But apart from that, we're going to be just like him. Amazing grace, just by this one word, one phrase, first fruit, him being the first fruit. Yes, you and I have already been resurrected spiritually in Jesus Christ. And when he comes back to gather his people to his kingdom, we will all be resurrected also physically. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are already living that resurrected life, the heavenly life, even in this world. And you and I will live the resurrected heavenly life in heaven forever and ever. Because we see Jesus Christ, we are able to have confidence of these things because Jesus is already resurrected and he is the first fruit. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 through 4, therefore if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And you and I are also heirs who already have received and who will receive the inheritance from God. Romans chapter 8 verse 13, we are the children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. He is the first fruit. What else does this show? That the harvest is already begun. First fruit is already harvested. Harvest has already begun. The second coming of Jesus Christ is already begun. The end has already begun. It's harvest time. That is why God called us to pray for more workers, because it's harvest time. The end time has already begun. And Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. We see here the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 through 7, for a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And it is already accomplished in Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13 through 14, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the cloud of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That kingdom has already begun. Jesus Christ is the king. He is the ruler of the kings. The king of kings and the Lord of lords. Psalm 72 verse 11, and let all kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Revelation, this book, this wonderful book, will show us this reality. Let's read a couple places. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, what? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Chapter 15, verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. Chapter 17, verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and these and those who are with him are the called, the chosen and faithful. Chapter 19, verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the triumphant King who now sits at the throne of God. All the authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10a. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is not the only King of heaven. You are also kings of heaven. You will rule. You will reign with your Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection, and you have part in that. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and what? And will reign with him for 1,000 years. Chapter 22, verse 5. Heaven is described here, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's you. And in heaven, where are you going to sit? Where is your place to sit? Well, chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 21. Chapter 3, 21 says, he who overcomes, that's you. And 1 John says that we overcome by faith. And you have faith. God has given you faith. With that faith, you will overcome. So it is you who we're talking about here. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Where are you seated? Man, brothers and sisters, as you come into heaven, even as you worship right now, spiritually you have come to heaven, the Bible says. And in heaven, where are you seated right now, even as you worship your God? Oh, man. The things that we just don't understand and believe. How much we lose out because we just don't believe. See, you think you're just sitting on that cheap chair. See, that's why you're not as happy as you could be. Because if you truly understand what is going on, man, you don't want this worship to be over. But you do. You're going to go home. Home is better than on the throne of God. Boy, just don't get it. The faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. The faithful witness is Jesus' life. The firstborn of the dead, His resurrection. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, His present heavenly reality. You see His life. You see Jesus Christ. His life, His resurrection, and who He is forever and evermore. God is not only who is to come, but God is who is with His church. And He is also presently the King. This triune God sends to His church grace and peace. God sends to you grace and peace. Grace, unmerited favor, or more correctly, demerited favor. Even from the Old Testament, God gave grace to His people, but they continued to sin against God. But our God of grace promised grace, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect and the complete fulfillment of that promise, because He is grace. John chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, indeed, we have received grace from our God. We have received Jesus Christ. And peace. Peace with God, we're not talking about peace in this world. This world will be completely destroyed. There will be no peace here. But peace with God. Because as a sinner, God is the judge, angry judge. There is no peace. It is impossible for a sinner to have peace with God on his own ability. Where there is sin, there is no peace with God. Jeremiah 8:11, "They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace." Oh yeah, they say God will bless you, God will bless you, peace, peace, but actually, because they do not understand the gospel, because they do not receive Jesus Christ, there is no peace. God does not love everyone. God says, "I hate Esau." But in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect and the complete fulfillment of that promise. Isaiah chapter 9, the Messiah will be called what? The Prince of Peace. There will be no end to peace in His kingdom. That promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace be with you. Every Sunday morning, every Lord's Day morning, I come. And I told you this many, many times, but you're going to hear it again. Every Lord's Day morning, as we begin our worship, I raise my hands and I say to you, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, I realize what kind of blessings we have. You know, if it is according to how you lived last week, if it is according to how you lived last week, what I should have said to you was judgment to you. curse to you. But that is not what I say. I say grace and peace to you. You know what that means? You do not deserve grace and peace. And yet that is what God sends to you. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, because you are in Christ, because you are united to Jesus Christ. You know, at that moment, you should just fill with so much joy. You should realize what is happening. The rest of the worship is just celebration with that joy. But nah, see, people just don't get it. God's plan, His promises are already fulfilled and are being fulfilled and will be completely consummated when He returns. In Jesus Christ, you are the faithful witnesses and the resurrected sons of God and the kings of God, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has done and accomplished, that determines who you are. It's not about who you are in this world, what kind of college you go to, and what kind of job you have. Who you are is determined by what Christ has done, what He has accomplished for you, and who He is. You have to start thinking in these terms. Otherwise, you still don't have the truth. Yeah, so don't introduce yourself to me in terms of who you are in this world. I have no interest whatsoever. I mean it. You know, I'm not going to be impressed because who you are in this world. I refuse to be impressed because who you are in this world. Obviously, you know, someone at high status, they're so proud to tell me who they are. But I'm not going to be impressed. I refuse to be impressed. But at the same time, if you feel like you're at the low status, it's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's not about who you are in this world. We truly do not care. It's about who you are in Jesus Christ. You are the faithful witnesses. You are the resurrected sons of God. You are the kings of heaven. Compare that with anything you might say about yourself in terms of this world. Ha! But see, people are so focused on themselves and this world. They're full of it. If you're like that, hear God's word and truly understand who you are. Who you are is determined by Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Yes, there will be sufferings. Yes, there will be persecutions. Yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, even death. But God is who is to come, who is with us. And God is the King who reigns, who controls, who governs. Endure, brothers and sisters, with joy. Only a few more years. Be faithful, brothers and sisters. Be faithful unto death. John chapter 14 verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Chapter 16 verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. You also have overcome the world in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Grace and peace to you from God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, amazing grace. Amazing grace. And we are speechless at your grace. Oh Father, let us understand and believe who Jesus is and what he has done and accomplished for us, so that we may know who we are and live as your faithful witnesses. By your grace, all of us who are in Christ will be proven faithful at the end. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.